Hello and welcome to podcast number 22 from the Queensland Freemasons podcast. And I'm sitting here today with Graham, and I'll introduce myself. I'm Luke Eelan, and I'm sitting here with Graham Schultz. How are you today, Graham?
I'm really well, Luke. It's great to be back, do another podcast, and talk about successful lodges.
Indeed, indeed. We've covered in the last two podcasts, the very popular ones, Severn Liberal Arts and Sciences, and that was recorded at the same time, started last month. So we've been a bit of a break between podcasts, but had a few events happen here. We've had the Brisbane Open House and we've had a few other things. And today, as a result of some of the feedback we've got from people listening to our podcast, we'd like to do a podcast on what it is that you need to do if you're running a lodge to make it successful. And I guess the important thing we should start out with is how you measure that success, in my opinion, should be up to you as a lodge. So I think that's where we'll get the conversation started. What do you see as a successful lodge, Graham?
Yeah, well, I think you can measure success in many ways, can't you, especially with lodges. For myself, personally, being involved in the membership and marketing side of the organisation, I look at the numbers, okay? How can we grow our membership numbers? But you can look at a successful lodge from the perspective of how they do their charity work or how they do their ritual work or, in many different ways. But for me, myself, I'm a bit of a numbers man, so I'm looking at it through the prism of how will whatever we do, whatever investment we make, how will that improve our membership numbers? Because that's what we've got to do.
And you've got some specific things that people can do that you've learnt from all your experience with the different lodges. And I guess that's fair to point out. You deal with 280-something lodges, Graham, so you've seen what it takes to run it successfully and what isn't. Yeah. What do you think is the first thing that lodges really need to do to at least gather what it is that they need to do to be successful?
Well, I think you'll find in every successful lodge there's one or two movers and shakers. And if you look around all the successful lodges, and once again, when I'm saying successful, I mean those that are growing their membership.
A measurement of their own measurements,
okay,
really.
That's the outcome that we're talking about today. And that's it's fairly subjective, but I think it's a good way. It's a business-like model, a business-like way to look at it. You know, if you're in your own business, want to grow your business, that's what you want to do to create wealth and make it a bigger business and be more successful.
Well, speaking of business, I think the one thing that every successful business does is measures their results. And again, this will be different from lodge to lodge. Some lodge might find that they're in a year want to have a new member join every month. Other lodges might simply find that they'd like more people to attend more often and stay for the festive board and enjoy the friendship with everybody and bring along more visitors. So I guess it is going to be the first step, in my opinion, would be to set some goals for your lodge as a committee to figure out what it is that you want to do and how you measure up against that.
Yeah, I think the best thing that we can look at is order in the house, and this is what Greg Godding has been taking around Australasia for many years now and talking about the five factors of order in the house. And if you've got those five factors in your lodge and if you've got them running correctly, your lodge will be successful. No contest. And the first one is harmony. You've got to have perfect harmony in your lodge. The second one is that you've got to have a short business part of your meeting. You know, don't go on for half an hour.
Yeah, that's one thing we've changed in our lodge. And at first, I'm the new master of our lodge, and at first the members of my lodge about a year ago were quite reticent to introduce the business side of things to be changed to our practice meeting. And we've decided to do that, to call it a practice and management meeting, because it then means that for the people that want to have more of an interaction about the business side of things, they feel that they can do it actually in that environment more so than in a formal meeting, particularly people want to raise issues.
Yeah.
And for us, that's meant two things. A, we have a shorter actual meeting, and B, we find ourselves engaging way more in the business side of conducting our lodge. And for people that aren't Masons, the business side would be the inward correspondence, the outward correspondence, which charities we're helping, that sort of stuff. But people in the past, the founder of my lodge, didn't really want to say anything, whether if their opinion differed. It was too formal a meeting, and they just kind of sat on their hands. So I think for us, it's a real measure of happiness amongst our members that they're all giving us feedback now in my lodge, that they like that process.
And if you do your business at the management meeting the week before, and then you have more time then at your regular meeting to actually do double first degree or double second or double third or whatever. The third thing of the five points of order in the house is the ritual. Try and make your ritual as good as you can get it. And number four is the festive board. An hour at the festive board at the most for your regular meeting, and 2 hours for the most If it's an installation meeting, don't stick around for too long. If you want to get the tiler's toast done, and then if people want to stay, they can stay. But people who need to get away and travel, perhaps, can get away. And number five is the cringe factor, of course. You know, these are the things. These are the five things that you need to look at. It's all about kindness and respect. You know, there's a lot. How do you treat your new members? You know, that's, you've got to have that perfect harmony, streamline the business, have excellent ritual, good festive boards, and no cringe factor. They're just the simple facts that will make your lodge successful.
Well, I think the things that we've talked about, particularly in terms of a lot of these things, are all about streamlining processes too. And that might sound very business-like, but I think the reality is that if your lodge is having a meeting that finishes at 1:30 in the morning, a lot of people probably won't like to attend. I remember one particular meeting I attended in my own lodge that we had a third degree, a jewel ceremony, a big long business meeting, and we finished our meeting at about 11:45. So that wasn't even including our festive board. And that was many years ago, and since then we've streamlined all of those processes. So that same meeting, if conducted now, and finish in 4 hours. And it comes back to the famous statement by Brother Godding there about having 4 hours once a month is what the commitment
exactly
should be.
Yeah. And your friend and my friend Paul Holland, very worshipful Brother Paul Holland as well, has a strategy that he calls his silver bullet strategy in his role as an AGSW when he's talking to
lodges. Anything that Brother Holland has to say, I'm kind of interested in listening to. He's one of those people in life that makes lists and gets things done.
Yeah, well, it's he said there's no silver bullet. There's no one single silver bullet to fix your lodge. There's many silver bullets, and some of them are, you know, get a website, promote it on all your correspondence and update it regularly. Okay, that's basic
stuff. Don't ask me, I'm a little bit biased about that. I think you should update a lot.
Yeah. Communicate with each other between meetings, right? So don't just go to your meeting and then don't see one another or talk to one another until the next monthly meeting. Talk to one another between meetings. You can do it on Facebook. You know, a lot of lodges now have got a Facebook page where they can talk to one another, and it encourages older guys like us to get tech savvy and become, you know, familiar with social media. Smarten up. Be proud of your Masonic appearance, right? Get a nice white jacket. Get a nice new bow tie, nice new white shirt, and be smart. Look the part.
Yeah, know? I kind of think that I sadly would have to put my hand on my heart and say the only thing I actually polish my shoes for and iron my shirt for is probably a lot of in Mason meetings. So I think you can gauge the importance of the meeting as whether I've got shoe polish out or not.
Yeah, so, and be honest about your ritual performance. Like, you know, sharpen it up if you can, practice a bit more, even us old timers. Talk to your family about Lodge and Freemasonry and what it means to you. It's not something secret that you can't talk to your family about it. Don't be reticent about giving them details. You know what the true secrets are that can't be communicated. Everything else is already on the net, as we can see. It's in books or it's on TV, and it can be explained to people, and that helps people. It informs people.
Absolutely.
Invite them in to have a look at the Lodge room. Do the same for your friends. Ask your friends to come in and have a look at the lodge.
I think on the topic of friends, a lot of people, particularly if they've been in the lodge for a long time, are actually a bit reluctant to talk to their friends about what they're doing. It's kind of like they've been there and done that and heard the speech, but it's kind of not like that. I talk to my friends about all aspects of my life, and I think it's important for them to hear about what we're doing in Masonry. So
yeah, I think it's exciting that we've just had the most successful month for new members in probably three decades.
Wow.
We've had more permissions to ballot issued in this last month than any
and
other.
And permission to ballot, for those who are not Masons, we're kind of making this a bit of a Masons-only podcast, is basically people applying to join. When you apply to join our organisation, you go through the balloting process, and that's part of the process that we do.
Yeah, and part of that, I think, comes back to things like wearing your Square and Compasses lapel pin.
Yes, I'm wearing one today.
And be prepared to talk to people about what it means, friends, strangers, whoever. If people ask you about it, be prepared to talk about it. Learn some Masonic history, but keep the explanation of Freemasonry personal. Like, I knew nothing about this building that we're in here today, this beautiful landmark building that was built in 1928. I knew nothing about it 3.5 years ago, but now I know a lot about it, and it's exciting.
No, it's a great building.
How this was made and how it makes you feel. Go out visiting more as members. Take a couple of you and go out and visit go to lodges that you've had relationships with in the past. Start at your own centre, like your lodge at Kedron. Visit a few lodges.
One of the things about visiting, I would have thought that I've had a few new Masons in my lodge, and a few of them have reported back to me that they felt confident and comfortable enough of our lodge atmosphere to go visiting other lodges, and they came back and said, look, they're running their lodges all a little bit differently from each other, but they were pleased to see the variation and see and compare what we're doing. So by visiting other lodges, you will establish in your own mind how your lodge is going, whether you like the atmosphere of the lodge you're visiting more or less than yours. And if you do like it more than yours, have a chat with them. See what it is that they did in their lodge to make it work that way.
It lets you benchmark your lodge a little bit by visiting others. Promote your lodge and welcome visitors. When you go out and if you get an opportunity to do the visitor's toast, invite people to come back to your lodge. When you have visitors arrive at your lodge, make sure you go up to them and shake their hand and introduce yourself and make them feel welcome. Go to lodge happy. Stay that way. If you have any problems in the lodge, just move on, learn from them. If you make a mistake, it doesn't matter.
I think that's the other thing. A lot of people feel that they should always exclusively and forevermore be a member of that lodge and that lodge only. And I kind of think that that's a bit kind of last century, and I don't mean to sound very cliched about it, but if I hung around a group of people that I didn't particularly get along with, I would find a new group of people to hang around. And the same can be said for lodges.
Yeah, and be tolerant and be generous with your time, particularly for members who need some mentoring or guidance. Volunteer to help when it's needed in your lodge or other lodges you're visiting. If they're short of an inner guard, put your hand up and say, yes, I'll be the inner guard. Contact some of the older or, you know, lapsed members and personally invite them to come back for a meeting. There's some of Paul's silver bullets. Really good stuff.
On that last one, Graham, as I mentioned earlier, not to big note myself, as the newly installed master of the lodge, I've actually started to do that. I guess because my particular lodge, for example, hasn't seen a master that's under 40. I don't know if they've seen one ever, personally. I think it might be close to, it might be the only one. So I've been making a point to tell some of our older members, look, I'm not changing exactly what the purpose of our lodge is and what we do, but I am thinking that I'm bringing a certain level of enthusiasm that they haven't seen in my lodge before. And enthusiasm breeds more enthusiasm. So we're starting to find our newer members now feel comfortable inviting people to come along to talk about it because they see that the master in the lodge is doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's not being rude to the other lodges that aren't doing this, because I certainly don't do plenty of things well. Like, my ritual work is always left to be desired, but that doesn't mean I'm not trying to do it, and I'm trying to improve it all the time, just like my lodge.
It comes back to what you said at the top of the podcast about Brisbane Open House and how successful that was. You know, we had six lapsed members come back. One was 73, one was 61, one was 58, one was 52. These guys have been out of Freemasonry for 20 or 30 years, but they heard about Brisbane Open House, they came back in, their partners, wives were with them, and said this would be a good thing for you to get back into.
Absolutely, and I guess the thing about that is people who are in the lodge might not consider the fact that people's life circumstances change as well, so perhaps the reason why they left is no longer relevant to why they wouldn't want to come back. And that open house example is a great one.
Yeah, so
I see you sporting the start of a moustache there too, Graham.
I've got my November thing happening.
You'll notice I'm not wearing one of those this year, and so I'm enthusiastic about a lot of things, but I said I'd do it once. But hey, I gave it a go.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about masonry. If you're not comfortable with the way things are, change them, because you're in charge of your own lodge's harmony and the way things are going, and so I'd encourage you all to become enthusiastic about what you're doing and how you're doing it, and that will breed more enthusiasm, in my opinion. So I guess, Graham, until our next podcast, hope everybody stays on the level, and I hope nobody's offended by what we've had to say, and just practice what you think the things you need to do in your lodge are. Until next month, stay on the level.